Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, joined today by the well-read Patrick McDonald. Patrick, your background, which for those of you who are not watching on YouTube, is a luxurious library, actually sparks quite good conversation before we start these.
Yeah, it does. What's going on, fellas? Good to see you guys, and pretty excited to talk about this Butterfield Bermuda Championship.
It just rolls right off the tongue. Butterfield Bermuda. Kyle Porter is here. KP, good to see you.
Butterfield is such a. I think the Shotgun Star guys did this, but what is their company? What is the company? What is Butterfield?
I know the answer.
They make butter.
Do you want to guess?
Maybe we did this last year on this podcast.
We've done this. Patrick, do you know, or do you want to take a guess?
I think it's a neighborhood.
Are they in Derry?
A neighborhood? What does that what does that even mean?
It's just like a part of town in Bermuda.
Oh, like the upper. So like the upper. So this could be like the Upper West Side Championship.
Exactly. Beverly Hills Open.
The Tribeca Open.
Yeah. That's my guess.
That's
I have no idea.
With.
Yeah.
That's
out of the box.
I want to say they're like a financial services company.
It's a bank.
It's okay.
Bermuda based bank started by Nathaniel Butterfield.
Sure.
That's a
hell of a
Have you read his biography, Patrick? We were just talking about books.
It's like next on my docket.
Nathaniel Butterfield. How do you choose biography? So we were kind of joking, but then we actually started seriously talking about books. How do you choose a biography? You said you read some biographies. You like people's stories. How do you pick one?
Completely random. Okay. Mostly they're recommended to me from this Eric Wehenmeyer, blind guy. He's like summited Everest. This one's about his journey through the Grand Canyon. And then I've done, Trebek. I was a big Jeopardy guy. So I had to read his. Next on the docket's probably Andre Agassi. I'm pretty interested.
I've heard that
just about
good.
Him.
Open?
So,
yeah.
The Open book?
Yeah.
I read it earlier this year. It's phenomenal. The writing's unbelievable. So he actually didn't. This is probably always true, but he didn't write it, but he also talks in there about how he didn't write it and like his relationship with the writer, which I feel like doesn't really happen. And I can't remember the guy's name who wrote it. He's an unreal writer. It's fantastic. Really
so
good.
The writer is writing about the relationship that he has with the person who's being shown. It's like that's a very meta.
Yeah. It's weird because normally with stuff like that, like if Dustin Johnson came, that's probably a bad example. If Jordan Spieth came out with a biography, it would be written by like one of us, but you would never know that it was like nobody would ever mention our name. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the end of it, Agassi talks about the guy that, or he actually might've written about the guy who wrote it. And it's just like, yeah, it's a really cool look at his life and kind of like all the weird stuff that went on in it.
I was telling you the book that just arrived from Amazon for me is Tom Doak's architecture book.
Yeah, which one? Because he's got a couple.
It's called The Anatomy of a Golf Course.
Okay. I've heard good
things.
I think
it's like, I'm pretty sure that's like, hey, if you want to get into this, this is like 101. Like, here's a great intro.
So we were in Scotland this summer, and I was with Brendan Porath and Andy Johnson, who were at the Fried Egg. And Porath and I are not architecture geeks, and Andy's really into it. And we were in a bookstore, and I picked up Doak's. It's like the little red book of golf architecture, I think is what it's called. And Andy said, you should read that if you want to get into golf architecture more. And so I bought it, and I finished it probably about a month ago. And it's really interesting. I mean, it's just, golf architecture is so weird in that it's a world that you, like all three of us, we're immersed in the golf world all the time. And yet you read about golf architecture and you're like, are we talking about the same stuff here? Like, are we talking about the world that I'm also in? Right. It's almost like a world within a world. And I learned a ton. Doak is he can be a little bit arrogant about his takes, which I think is probably the sign of a good golf architect, like very confident about the direction that he goes in. And he's very adamant about making like bringing everybody into the same, like making a golf course harder for pros but easier for people like us. And so I don't know what I'm trying to say. They're normalizing the golf course for everybody, and so it makes it kind of the same level of difficulty to play for everybody, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. I know very little, and there's things that I see and I'm like, I wish I knew more about it. So I'm looking forward to jumping in. Yeah, I see this. Tom Doak's Little Red Book of Golf Course Architecture. Okay, that'll be next on the list.
It's these little like almost blog posts, like little vignettes about just different things that he's seen and worked on and everything.
All right. Very cool. Well, I'm going to now transition us to the First Cut podcast. We should have the First Cut book club. And once a month, we get together and we tell the listeners, hey, go grab this book. You've got a month to read it. And we're going to do a book club.
I've got a list. I try to read, I don't know, 20 to 30 books a year. And you know, a lot of them this year have been about golf. I read the Tiger biography. I read Shipnuck's Phil biography. There was a Tiger Phil thing by Bob Herrig. But normally I try to get outside of golf, read some fiction, read some other stuff. I think it hopefully informs my writing and just the way that I'm kind of thinking about stuff inside of golf.
We don't have books, but we've got merch, baby, and it's 20%. off First Cut merch for the rest of the year. If you're watching on YouTube, that square, that black and white square, that's a QR code. Scan that with your phone. Watch what happens. Take you right to the store. Use the promo code FIRSTCUT20. There is also a link in both the audio and video versions of the podcast. I've said it once. I've said it a million times. It's tumblers and water bottles and stickers and long sleeve tees and everything else you could possibly imagine with that beautiful First Cut logo on it. And now 20% off for the rest of the year. Bermuda. Patrick, if you'll indulge me for a second, I'd like to play meteorologist for a bit. And Troy, if you could share my screen. Okay. This is a radar. Are we in agreement that we can see that this is the United States and all the storms around it? We agree on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, looks like some action down in my neck of the woods.
Yeah. You doing okay? Is that?
Well, I was supposed to play in a golf tournament yesterday, and I never play golf, and we got dumped on all day. It was terrible.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get more on Friday apparently, cause that's what we're looking at here. So, if I scan over here to the Atlantic, you see this massive storm, and this massive storm, which is getting stronger, and look at these circular winds. That's, not quite a hurricane yet. Not quite a tropical storm yet, a tropical depression. And if I keep zooming in, look how small this little island of Bermuda is. Yeah, it's there, believe it or not. This is Bermuda. Port Royal is on the west side of this island. The forecast, not great, Patrick. They are going to get absolutely smoked by this thing. And there are thunderstorms in the forecast literally every day for like the next 12 days.
Rick, we got to put you in front of a green screen here. Not just me. We got to get you on your feet and moving.
Yeah, I got to be able to move around. And I need a giant touch screen is what I need.
Yeah. But yeah, we were talking beforehand, you know, maybe they don't get 72 holes in just because, like you said, the weather does not look great. And then obviously I feel like there's always travel issues to this tournament for players. I think Bryce Garnett came out today saying he doesn't have his golf clubs yet. I'm sure he's not the only one. I swear it happens every single year.
Jonathan Bird does not have his golf clubs yet.
There, yeah, it's a good week to kind of scour these guys' Instagram, Twitters, see who they're complaining about, which airline they're complaining about. But yeah, I think betting wise, if you want to go live, you know, some live bets are probably the way to go, just so you can kind of get a feel for this weather.
How do you get to Bermuda? Like, is it
Miami?
Okay.
Right.
So there's not like a Vegas to Bermuda flight.
There are direct flights to and from Vegas for basically everywhere. I doubt there is. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to vamp for 2 minutes, I'll find out how you get there.
I think I'm pretty level with them here in Charleston. I wonder if that's a way.
All right, here we go. Las Vegas to Bermuda.
Sail over there, Patrick.
Swim.
The best flight available, the shortest route, will get me there in 10 hours and 47 minutes, but I have a stop in CLT, which is Charlotte.
That's kind of brutal. Like if you're Mav McNeely at the Jupiter of the West, you got to get to Bermuda. I don't think he's playing, but if he was, that's a tough one.
A lot of them stop through Charlotte or Miami. American okay. basically goes through Miami for the Charlotte. Most part, Charlotte's a big Charlotte or Miami is basically where how you get there.
That's a good one to have the net jets for. Problem is, I don't think anybody in this field makes enough to do the net jets.
Yeah, that's the big elephant in the room here. The strength of field's a 126. Denny McCarthy's your favorite. Seamus Power is in the field. Aaron Rye near the top of the betting board. This is not, Patrick, I haven't added up the PGA Tour or worldwide victories in this field yet, but I could probably count them on my fingers and toes.
Yeah, it's never good when John Daly's in the field as well. You know, outside the PGA Championship, obviously, when he typically takes a lead after a few holes. But yeah, it's not great. But honestly, like I look at the top of this odds board, and the first thing that comes to mind is the back end of the European Ryder Cup team. For some reason, I think there's, you know, four guys in this field that potentially may have a chance to be on that team in Italy. And, you know, Luke Donald's in this field as well. Maybe that kind of urged some of these guys to come over here, because for Europe, I want to say you have like seven, I don't want to say locks, but pretty much guaranteed to be on that team. And there's five spots for, I'd say, probably 10 to 15 guys for Italy. And I think, you know, while this might not be a big week for, you know, golf fans, most people, the Bermuda Championship's like a standalone real tournament now. You get 500 FedEx Cup points, you get into the major championships, you get into the players, the tournament of champions. It's a big week for these guys. And I think the Ryder Cup might be on some players' minds as well.
Yeah, I gotta say a couple of things here. One, so the strength of field is exactly equivalent to this year's Irish Open, which was not great. It's just better than the Albertsons Boise Open presented by Chevron, which is a Corn Ferry event.
It's a hell of a name.
Yeah, that's not good. Two. I lost my train of thought here.
What I always do is, so I don't think you actually did it, but you said I have a couple of things to say. I found that I used to say, okay, three things, and then I would forget whatever the third one is. So I stopped saying, okay, I have two things or I have three things. I just say I have a couple of things or I have a few things.
That's
because I used to find myself doing it all the time.
That's wise. Come back to me. I'll remember it.
Well, listen, I'm sorry. It's not the strongest field, Patrick. Let's circle back. Lucas Herbert won this event last year. So he gets all the goodness out of it. They elevated this event. I shouldn't say elevated because we use that word differently now. But now it does get the full 500 FedEx Cup points. So somebody's going to make. There you go.
That's what I was going to say. I don't understand how this has the same number of FedEx Cup points as the Phoenix Open, or I don't know, pick the what else is up there?
Genesis.
Genesis gets more.
I think he gets more. I think it's like 550, which is still.
So do all these elevated events get more than 500?
Well, that I don't know, but I know. I think last year Genesis was already like it's so confusing. Yeah, it was already one of the, it was like that in Memorial or whatever, and API, I think, Rick.
Yep.
But you look at Phoenix, you look at Farmers, you look at Charles Schwab, Travelers. These are good, these are like legit PGA Tour fields. I can't be having those get the same number of, or the same amount of rewards in terms of FedEx Cup points, Masters invites as the Bermuda. Like the, you can't make those things equivalent. Now you could say, well, Rory and Spieth could play in the Bermuda. Well, I mean, yeah, so could Tiger. It's not going to, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, like there has to be some level of, like if it's a meritocracy, you have to make it to where it's staggered. It can't be all the same. And the other thing is like, part of the reason we're in this whole mess to begin with LIV is, and I won't go too long on this because anyway, I actually want to talk about the Bermuda, but it's just such you don't need it. Like there doesn't need to be 47 events, you know? And I think that functionally there's not going to be, but even more so next year when you have the top players playing the top 17 events, everything else drops down a tier. So it functionally won't be on the, like there'll be two different tours. And I just, you can continue having it. I just don't know, I guess, necessarily why you need to make it or call it a PGA Tour event.
Sorry, yeah, I agree.
That's my soapbox.
No, I think it kind of goes back to what Rory said last week. It's like, it's okay to not have a tournament every week and to have people miss it. Like, no offense to the guys in the field this week and, you know, the Butterfield family and the Bermuda Championship, but... No one's going to miss this tournament if it's not on the schedule.
You know, my thing, just make it worth 1500 FedEx Cup points and see who shows up. In inverse the FedEx Cup points to the strength of field.
No, you're going to burn guys out. This is like the NFL trying to play a 19 game schedule. It's not going to end well. It might be good for a year. It frustrates me that, it seems like, and I've heard, I don't know if this is actually true, but it seems like tour executives are incentivized to create as many tournaments as possible for all their players. And it's like,
yeah,
man, that is, I get why you're doing that. It's exhausting though, as a fan, the Rory thing, like you got to give people, this is college football secret sauce. You give people 9 months away and it's like, I cannot wait for college football. Right. And with this, it's like every single week and you're like, oh, we got 3 weeks until Tournament of Champions all of a sudden. And you didn't have any time off. You didn't, it doesn't, from a business standpoint, I don't think it makes a ton of sense.
I think functionally, and we'll move on. We do have a hard out today. I think functionally, Patrick, this will be the last year this is this weird, because I think next year it's going to be very clearly two separate tours within one, when the fall is apparently for reseeding and reshuffling, and they go back to like the January season or the calendar year season. I think this is just now the most awkward time we've had and the most awkward event that we've had in the most awkward time.
Exactly. This time next year, it'll be like, I don't want to say like junior varsity, but the PGA Tour JV guys duking it out, you know, trying to get their status back and everything. And the main guys, you know, Rory, Rahm, and the rest of the gang will just, you know, be gearing up for January Tournament of Champions.
I think that's right. And I think that's
which is good.
It should be. Yeah.
Or they'll play their DP World Tour events that they want to play. And
yeah,
that'll be that.
And it'll be a clearer distinction. It'll be a clearer hierarchy of like what matters and what doesn't. So,
right. Yeah. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We have to do our best bets. We've got to talk about Liv. They have their championship this week. But first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. Best bets, our little first cut money maker challenge here. So this is where we take 100 little nuggets over to Caesar Sportsbook and we scour every square pixel and we find a matchup, a finishing position, and a couple outrights that we like. Troy, do we have the season standings? There we go. KP making his way closer to even. Patrick making his way further from even.
Hey, Tom Kim's not in the field, so somebody has
to recount.
Somebody asked if you had Tom Kim's biography on that bookshelf yet.
It's on the list given the shellacking he's given me this past month.
I think you should write it, Patrick. I think
PWC statement.
You should have to write it after losing a matchup against him every week.
Yeah, for free probably.
Yeah. All right, let's start with our matchups. Patrick, I can't wait any longer. Spare us the suspense and tell us who your matchup is this week.
Have you guys ever watched The Simpsons? You know, like the theme song where Lisa's playing the saxophone, Bart's in detention, rides a skateboard off, and then Homer's in the nuclear power plant. It's like 3 days without an accident. I'm going on 21 days without a winning bet. It's been three straight tournaments.
So if we had a counter in our workspace, in our shared workspace, it would say 21 days since Patrick's last winner.
21 days. So we're looking to Will Flash Gordon -110 over Nick Taylor to get off the schneid here. Will Gordon has been great kind of to end his Korn Ferry Tour season last summer into this year as well. Long and straight off the tee, which I like. His irons are good. Gained 3 strokes at the Shriners. And kind of when zooming out a bit, he's just, you know, a better player than Nick Taylor over the long term as well. I know Nick Taylor had a couple nice starts to begin this season, but he kind of struggles to piece it all together. And, you know, as a toss-up, -110, I'm going with Will Gordon.
21 days. I was trying to find an animal that had a lifespan of 21 days and I couldn't find one. I couldn't find one quickly enough. Like, I'll come back to that.
How long are goldfish living these days? Sorry.
From the fair, mine never made it 21 days. I'll tell you that for free.
Fair enough.
KP, you are going with Mark Hubbard over Adrian Maronk. You're picking on a DP World Tour guy.
Yep. Homeless Hubs. He's been playing good golf. You know, he played well at Sanderson, could have won that. And I think I got a little bit wrapped up in something that you talked about, I think, on Sunday, Rick, which was this course being good for shorter hitters. And so a lot of what I ended up doing was finding guys that were playing well, but also shorter off the tee. And so that's how I ended up with Hubbard, Russell Knox, Lucas Glover, all in these picks. But all that to say, I like Hubbard over Maronk this week in the matchup.
-120, a tsetse fly, a small winged insect found in Africa's lifespan is only 14 to 21 days. We've had an entire generation since the last time Patrick won a bet. Tough scene. I'm going with Aaron Rye over Seamus Power. Aaron Rye, even money over Seamus Power. Rye, decent ball striker. Sheamus Powers lost strokes on approach in seven straight. It's a disaster zone for Sheamus. I don't know if he gets it figured out this week. I'm going with Aaron Rye, who also those iron covers will ensure that his clubs don't get wet.
Now that's a handicap.
Sheamus, like, I don't know if this is good for Team Europe, but he could legitimately be on the Ryder Cup team. Just to reference what Patrick was talking about earlier, if there are a lot of guys, Maronk could be on the Ryder Cup team. Again, I don't know if that's a good thing for Europe, but it's certainly in play for some of those guys that or some of those European guys that are in this field.
Aaron Rye also always wears two gloves, so he'll be right at home with his rain gloves this week. Finishing position, $30 on any finishing position that we want. KP, who have you gone with and for what position?
Yeah, I got Russell Knox top 20. He's been playing pretty well. He was more so a play on this golf course. He's finished in the top 20 each of the last three, or I think the only 3 years at the Butterfield, at the Nicholas Butterfield Championship. And I liked the number, plus 160 to finish in the top 20. So that's Russell Knox.
Maybe some of the best form coming in, Patrick, based on the fields that he's played in, because he's played some better events, goes to your guy to finish inside the top 20. Who is it?
Adam Shank, 2-1, T16 at the Zozo in a pretty good field. Was near the top after the first day, kind of fizzled out a bit, and then T12 at the Shriners. Finished T26 here a couple years ago, and kind of a sneaky good coastal record. And eight starts between here, Corrales, and Puerto Rico. Never missed a cut. Three top 20s. Iron plays looking pretty sharp. So 2-1 for a top 20 for Mr. Adam Shank. Give it to me.
I have Adam Shank as one of my outrights. We'll get to that in just a second. But I went with the well-decorated Arizona State Sun Devil, Kevin Yu, to finish inside the top 20, plus 300. He's gained over 12 strokes ball striking in his 10 rounds this season. He's second to only John Rahm in a variety of Arizona State record books. I'll go with Kevin Yu to finish on the first two pages of the leaderboard for 3-1.
Kevin Yu, best ball striker in this field over the last 20 rounds. I looked at it. I looked at it hard, but I don't know.
You also saw the putter.
Well, it's a small sample. It's not a there's not a ton of data there. You know, it's just hard to, you know, am I looking at one great round? Am I looking at, it's just hard to kind of determine with guys like that.
I'll just knock out mine real quick, cause I already mentioned it for the outrights. 10 on Adam Shank at 40-1 and 10 on Robbie Shelton, who is kind of the underrated Corn Ferry guy who won twice since the summer. And he's played well in his first handful of starts here on the PGA Tour. So I'm taking a 35-1 Robbie Shelton, a 40-1 Adam Shank. We'll circle this back to you, Patrick, for your two outrights, please.
Yeah, Brandon Wu, really good off the tee. He hasn't lost strokes in that category since the Honda Classic. He's 50-1, three straight made cuts. Hasn't really had any help from his iron play, but you know, hopefully the short game can be enough and the iron play can be half decent to kind of propel him up the leaderboard. Really good around the green. And speaking of coastal record, him last year, T2 in Mexico, T3 in Puerto Rico, T6 at the Scottish Open. I think there's something brewing there. And then Chesson Hadley at 60-1. Kind of the teeth of this golf course are the par threes, and Chesson Hadley is a really good par three player, which I like a lot. And a sneaky good end to last regular season there. Had four top tens in his last six starts to kind of sneak into the top 125 there, and a strong coastal record as well. So those are my two guys.
We have not given much respect to the top of the board, your Adrian Maronks, your Denny McCarthy's, your Aaron Rye, your Sheamus Powers, because KP, your two outrights are 35-1 and 80-1, which is basically where we're all living here.
Yeah, I figured that, you know, if we're going to, it's hard enough to pick outrights, so I might as well try to hit on something like a long shot. The Glover thing was, again, it's a little bit like the Hubbard deal of, hey, playing good golf, short off the tee, this golf course could help him. He's played no, I don't think he's played this golf course before, so I'm just going mostly off form there. And then Nick Hardy, I wanted to pick a younger guy that, you know, could break out, get into the Masters, get into some championships next year, that has been playing solid. So I went with Hardy.
Hardy, Glover, Hadley, Wu, Brandon Wu, Adam Schenck, Robbie Shelton are the six outrights, Patrick.
KP, Lucas Glover has played. People forget the PGA Grand Slam was held at this course when
2009, huh?
Yeah. So he's got some good vibes here.
Okay, great callback there. I would have lost a lot of money on that. So congratulations.
All right, here's what else we've got. Our best bets, our money ball. You take an extra $50, you put it on anything that you want. Kyle, your strategy has been to double down on something on your betting board. What have you opted for this week?
Yeah, I've done this all two or three times that I've done the money ball. I just went with my finished position. So I went with Russell Knox top 20.
Russell Knox top 20, if that does indeed cash, it will not only push KP further into the black because he's already up 12% for his best balls this season, but it would get him plus 160. Now, Patrick, you take a different style here. You are looking for – wasn't that very generous of me to just – it's like a different style. You generally go for something longer. Last week it was Rory McIlroy to be the first round leader. That was 16-1. Oh, one shot away. This time you found something at 6-1.
Rick, you're just like burying me today. Very subtly, just throwing me down.
Just state the facts.
Yeah, top GB and I, Callum, Tulum. Taryn, 6-1. He's got Seamus Power in this. Like we talked about, the iron play is pretty poor. Russell Knox and Aaron Rye give a little bit of scare, but outside of that, you got Harry Hall, Ben Taylor, and Luke Donald. So I wanted some exposure to him. He's long. He can putt, kind of fit that Lucas Herbert mold. Very boomer bust. He could totally miss a cut here, or he could finish inside the top 10. So give me Taryn at 6-1.
Callum Tarrant is the European Davis Riley in that it could be Riley Davis. It could be Taryn Callum. You could say it. And if I was like halfway paying attention, I would not. You could get it past me every time.
Will Gordon, which if you went by William Gordon, it could be Gordon William. Pretty easy.
Yeah, for sure.
Top 40 is my best bet. So I kind of split the difference here. I generally try to find a longer or a deeper finishing position for a guy that I like, but I certainly don't think is going to win. Will Gordon and Robbie Shelton over the last 24 rounds are the two best players in this field. Just pure raw strokes gained, 1.5 strokes per round for each of them. Will Gordon might be back, baby, and almost even money for him to finish inside the top 40.
Why do you go shorter odds on the best bet on the money ball?
It's a big chunk, right? It's a big chunk of our wagers that we make each week, and I would prefer something that is more of a sure bet. I think whatever you do, Kyle, you just have to kind of stick with it. Like if Patrick's going to do something that's 6 or 16-1, he kind of has to do it every week because if he hits one, he's set for a while. But I think bouncing back and forth is probably the bad play here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Producer Troy, we should probably take Coach off here. We should just have the guys that are, since Coach won't be on here, I think for the rest of the fall, he's doing like 19 football shows. So, apparently Rick and I are going to have to carry Patrick, but we don't need to be carrying Coach as well.
Also, from what I understand, Mark petitioned his way off this board.
That sounds about right.
Right. That sounds exactly right to me.
Who signed this petition?
I think Troy did. I know I didn't.
Was it Jacob? And then he got out of Dodge.
His last act. What is that like on your last day in office?
You write the what are the pardons? You
pardon everybody.
Mark was pardoned.
All right. Will Gordon top 40. Callum Tarrant plus 600 to be top G, B, and I. Russell Knox finished inside the top 20. Those are the best bets, and we'll axe Coach from the lists until next year. All right, we still have one more thing to talk about. We got 11 minutes to do it, so we got to hurry. It is LIV. Their Miami Team Championship is happening this week. We're going to talk about that after a quick word from our partners.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
And we're back. LIV Golf Team Championship. Last event of the year. Here's how it works. The top four teams from the season get byes. They're into the semifinals. So it's a three-day championship. The teams that have to play, the higher ranked teams will choose which other team they play. And then there will be three matches, two singles matches, and an alternate shot match play. That's how four golfers then play in three matches. Matches are played until a winner is determined. Then they do it all again in the semis. They do it all again in the championship. Patrick, have I missed anything with that format? That sounds about right, doesn't it?
One thing which I think I found out about yesterday, I'm pretty sure the captains have to play each other because the Majestics changed their captain to Ian Poulter so that he would have to play in the singles match.
See this. Okay. This is the perfect example. LIV does some stuff that's like pretty cool and pretty fun, like the captains have to play against each other or that they're going to have a draft, but then they screw it up. What's the point of making your captains play against each other if you can just change your captain every single week?
Yeah, I don't know. And there's like two new players this week. We got Henny Duplessis. He's back with the
My guy. I love that guy.
Anything's possible. Yeah, he's back with the South African. Sean Norris, see you later. And then Adrian Otegi, he's back Bronk. As well. He's with Neiman's team. That's what, all I got. I just wrote a preview for LIV, so that's why I know.
What is that? The Ironheads? What's Neiman's team? Fireballs. Is Neiman, it Fireballs? No.
Neiman's Torque, I want to say. Fireball is like Carlos, Sergio, Chikara, and Answer.
By the way, speaking of Carlos Ortiz, I was going back through for normal sport too. He played 16 and 17. I didn't remember this. He played 16 and 17 at Phoenix in three strokes this year on Sunday.
16 and 17.
Oh, on Eagle. Yeah.
He made a one on 16 and a two on 17. On Sunday at the Phoenix Open.
It's about as good as you can do.
I wrote in there, I couldn't play those holes in three strokes if you gave me a 15-foot putt on each hole. Like if you just put a ball on the green and said, here, try to play these two holes in three strokes, I don't think I could do it. The LIV thing, I actually like what they're doing because they're taking some kind of, I don't know if risk is the right word, but they're having some fun with it. And I think that's good. I've read it. I've heard Rick say it like three times. I need to just like see it so that I can see what's happening, help me understand what's going on. It all feels very confusing, even though it's weird. I think we advocate for some stuff sometimes. Like this, and then when they do it and explain it, you're like, I don't know, man, like that's actually really complicated. And so I think I like it, and I think I'm actually into it, and I'll be watching it, but just hearing it again, it does feel a little bit complicated.
There is a there's a bracket I was trying to find. I don't think this is the exact one, but it's close enough. If Troy, you could add me in there, where basically, here you go. Team 5 and team 12 are going to play. Team 7 and team 10 are going to, or I guess they'll be able to choose, but team 5 gets to choose, then team 6, team 7, and team 8, and then teams 1 through 4 get matched up. But then it's that additional format where it's two individual match play events and the alternate shot for the other two guys, which I think it's interesting. I just don't like that you can change your captain if they're going to make your if the captain's having to play each other as a thing, you shouldn't be allowed to change.
I agree.
The magic sticks do what they want.
The magic sticks. Yeah. There was the thing that's we don't have time for this tangent, but
no, we do. No, please.
The thing I've hated the most about the entire thing is when they non-ironically were like, Joaquin Neiman is now the youngest captain in LIV golf history.
Yeah, I can't like, do that. We can't be doing that. That's not good. They've taken on this air of like, okay, well, not only did we solve golf, but we're also projecting like a history upon it that is fake. Like they've been around for 5 months, and just embrace that. Just be like, hey, we're going to try some stuff. We're going to figure like people would be so much more, I think, open to all of that if they just weren't so arrogant about the way they present it. And I think that, like, oh, the youngest kid, and it's like, you're being an idiot. Like just don't act like your league has been around for 25 years.
I also screwed this up. The chat is holding me accountable. The final round is not match play. The championship round is stroke play. So there will be four teams remaining, 16 golfers, 4 times 4. I can do that. And all four scores count towards the team score. So I apologize. That's my fault. Last night.
If the four aces don't win, it's going to be like that year the Mariners won 116 games and didn't win, couldn't get out of the ALCS.
The Warriors were what? 73 wins and didn't win at all. Did they win 73 or 72?
I think it's 3, yeah. That's absurd, by the way. 73-9.
If you go back and look at the game logs, there's just like 27 games in a row where they just don't lose. It's disgusting.
That's crazy.
That's like me and how many days I've gone without a winning bet. It's pretty good.
I want to do, we're going to have to do a deeper dive. So we'll have to grade LIV because this is their last event, right? So everything's going to be in the books after this year. We don't have an official schedule for next year. We'll have to kind of grade everything that went on, the pros and cons, but we do not have time for that today. So within the next 3 minutes, is there anything else that we need to cover for Bermuda or for LIV?
I will say, I think they messed up the final day. If you have four teams left, just do like a morning session, four singles matches against each other, afternoon. Do the same thing. Going back to stroke play, I think stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I want to ask, are you guys more excited about Bermuda or about LIV Miami?
I don't think I'll watch LIV Miami. I will at least tune in to the golf. I'm candidly not particularly excited about either of them. And I love watching golf, and this is like the lowest I've been on. Like, this week's a pretty low week.
It is. I think I'd say LIV just because I loved when Doral was in the PGA Tour mix. So just seeing that golf course again. But like Rick said, I've got a fun weekend ahead of me personally, so I'm probably not going to be watching a ton of golf.
Oh yeah, I'm covering the. I've got Saturday, don't I?
You do, yeah. I got a wedding to. They need my attendance. I was asked.
It's a good. They time that well. There are some. Although I don't know what's going on with college football this weekend, but real quick, there's a comment from Joseph Boza. You can pull this up. Producer Troy 425 wanted to mention this real quick. He made a good point. There's I think Ryan Lavner was on this, maybe Brentley Romine of Golf Channel, but there's apparently a proposal that the number one player in the PGA Tour U ranking, so that's going to be like a sophomore, junior, maybe a senior, that's playing like the best college golf, essentially the number one player in college golf, is going to get a full PGA Tour card when they come out. That's a good thing. Like, that is, you could talk me into that number being 2, 3, 4, maybe 5. Like the PGA Tour cannot, I think, keep pushing players down onto the Korn Ferry Tour when LIV provides such an easy path for them to become professionals. We saw this with Eugenio Chikara from Oklahoma State, right? He comes out and makes a bunch of money, wins the Bangkok event for the Fireballs. I can't believe that's a sentence that I'm saying, but for him, you know, it's a fairly straightforward path, and the tour needs to answer the bell there and provide some opportunities. And so I'm glad to see that they're at least, it seems like, moving toward that.
I agree with that. I think the one kind of pushback, not really a pushback, just kind of concerning thought, is like, these kids have been superstars kind of their entire lives, and they're going to be propelled into the PGA Tour right away, where, you know, it might not go so swimmingly, and it'll be interesting to see if, once they're kind of knocked off, I don't want to say pedestal or high horse, but kind of given a taste of reality of how good the PGA Tour is, if they'll be able to get back in if they do fall back into the Korn Ferry Tour or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Norman Jeong would have been, he probably would have been number one, right? And that probably wouldn't have gone well based on how his sort of non-PGA Tour career has gone. I think the rebuttal to that, though, is like, welcome to sports, you know, welcome to the, yeah, to the NFL, welcome to the NBA. You gotta go and figure it out. And, yeah, I mean, I hear you, because you don't want to just jam a 20-year-old into a position that he's not ready for and ruin him, because that hurts your product, right? Like, that's not great. But I don't know. I think there are ways to put them in good positions to succeed. So I don't know. I think I'd net out where it's the risk is worth the reward there. Especially if you keep that pipeline going, but I do hear that concern. I think that's real.
I too got slapped in the face in my first job out of college because of all those things I lied about on my resume, and then had to figure out and learn on the spot. So, hey, welcome kids to the PGA Tour.
Proficient in Excel. Like,
yeah. Do you know where your resume is right now, Rick?
Boy, no clue. I have not thought about a resume in a long time.
Me either. Patrick has.
Patrick, I got that thing on me all times.
He's constantly updating it, looking for that next big thing.
updating it with all the biographies that he's been reading.
All right, gents, absolute pleasure. We'll be back on a Sunday, hopefully. I don't know. My bold take is they might not get this Bermuda event, and I have no idea. But we'll be back on Sunday to break down everything that's happened in the world of golf. Big thanks to producer Troy, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Patrick McDonald at Amateur Status, Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.